Welcome to 70s Beatles. I'm Kate.
And I'm Scott.
On this podcast, we take a solo album from each of the former Beatles, and taking turns, we each pick songs to fill up what would be our theoretical, hypothetical, what if the Beatles stayed together album. Using John's own suggested template of four songs apiece for George, Paul, and himself, with one or two Ringo tunes, we build out our individual albums. After a month or so, we go back and use Spotify data to calculate the percentage increase in the number of plays for each track. We then total these percentages and see which one of us holds the winning album.
And our newest winner will be announced today. This is the results episode for our third batch of albums. We got Wildlife by Wings, Sometime in New York City by John and Yoko, and Disc 3 of George's All Things Must Pass, also known as the Apple Jam album. We're also looking at Ringo's third single, Back Off Boogaloo, with Blind Man.
Let's recap our picks. I'll start with my album, which I named Thanks for the Pepperoni after the George song. I thought it was just a fun title for an album. But the artwork I picked for the album was actually a play on the Sometime in New York City album cover. We talked about in our selection episode how a lot of these albums are kind of a snapshot of the times. So I just felt like that newspaper cover on Sometime in New York was just so fitting for a lot of these songs. I changed it a little bit though, so that is in the episode notes if you want to take a look at that. But my track list, I opened up the album with Sunday, Bloody Sunday, and then I went into John Sinclair, and then Attica State, and finally Cold Turkey, the live version. I kept all of the John songs together. I don't know, it felt right. I think I kept all of the artist's songs together. Like I have all of John's songs and then all of Paul's songs, which are for me Bip Bop Link, my little filler, my transition between John and Paul. And then Love is Strange, and then Mumbo, and then Tomorrow. So all of the Paul songs I stayed kept together. Then I go into Back Off Boogaloo, which is my Ringo song. And finally, I close it out with Thanks for the Pepperoni and Out of the Blue, which was kind of my like Abbey Road medley thing that I was putting at the end there. I really based, when I was picking songs, the creation of this album around those two songs, Thanks for the Pepperoni and Out of the Blue. I picked them first before everything else. So I think it was just, that was the aesthetic that I was going for, this kind of bluesy amalgamation of a very interesting set of songs.
I think it does work in that order too, because these are songs that don't meld together very well. So yeah. Sticking all of John's together and all of Paul's together is a perfectly valid way of going about it. I tried to mix them up together, but I'm not sure how well it worked. I called mine Sometime in Wildlife just because
love that.
It seemed appropriate. And we start off with the less political, more autobiographical New York City, followed by Ringo's weird Blind Man song and Paul's Some People Never Know. Then we get the first of the George instrumentals, Plug Me In, followed by Luck of the Irish and Wildlife to close out side one. We flip it over, we get George's brief snippet of It's Johnny's Birthday, followed by Angela and I Am Your Singer, the two sort of duets with the respective spouses, followed by Well and the poignant Dear Friend to end out the thing. To hear about our whole full selection process, check out the last episode and listen to our albums and check out the Spotify playlist linked in the episode's note. You can also track the Spotify data along with us. I mean, we've linked a tracker in the episode notes as well, so we've thought of everything for you guys. You're welcome.
So in this results episode, just to kind of give you guys an outline of what we're going to be talking about, we're going to, of course, announce the Spotify data winner for this batch of albums. We're also going to get into some fun data. We'll find the top performing songs for each respective Beatle, the top three performing songs overall, and then we'll round it all out with a segment called Beatles in the News. Let's get into it.
For the second batch in a row, I have won, this time a little better than last time, but only 113.9 to 96.82. Still, with the amount you got in the first batch, you have the total winning hand with 485.6 to 458.29.
Wow. Okay. That first batch is really plugging me ahead.
Yeah. You killed it that time. Dang. So all the stats and information are up on the website. So if you're curious as to who won what when, be sure to check out 70sbeatles.com.
So before we get into the top performers, like the specific songs that are our top performers, let's clarify what we mean by that. What we mean is these songs had the most Spotify plays over our allotted period of time. So in between when we made the selections, there was a certain number of plays these songs had on Spotify. And then when we gather the data, usually it's a period of about a month. So the percentage increase overall of those Spotify plays, that is how we calculate our numbers.
So the top songs for this batch, John's biggest one was The Luck of the Irish with 1.82%. Well, I did figure out that St. Patrick's Day was during our allotted time span.
Okay.
So I think that might not have panned out any other month, but that worked out well for me.
Yeah, it did. That's a pretty big increase there, 1.82%.
Bebop Link, of all things, was Paul's biggest one.
Look at that.
There you go. Out of the Blue by George, although all of George's songs were about the same.
Okay.
And Ringo's Blind Man surprisingly increased by 1.49%.
Wow. I'm surprised to see that Blind Man beat Back Off Boogaloo. But I know we've talked about how, you know, it's over a period of time. But it looks like we split evenly this time. I got the highest performing Paul and George song. And you got the highest performing John and Ringo song.
It did.
So our top songs overall across all of the batches, I don't think it changed since the last time we reviewed. We went through our results. Number one is still Ram On, The Reprise, which has a percentage increase of 3%. That's a Paul song. Number two is Hold On from John with a 2.44% increase. And number three is, well, actually number two and number three are tied, but number three is George's Ballad of Sir Frankie Crisp with a 2.44% percentage increase.
Yeah, nothing in this batch came close to any of those numbers.
Yeah.
In fact, if you look at the top albums overall, in terms of increase, we got Ram at number one, McCartney number two, Imagine number three, Plastic Ono Band number four, All Things Must Pass number five, Ringo's second single, number six, tied with the Apple Jam. And that's the first one from our batch to show up. Although, surprisingly, Apple Jam did better than All Things Must Pass Disc 2 at number eight. Then we got Ringo's third single, followed by Sometime in New York City, Wildlife, and Ringo's first single. So, yeah, this batch is not nearly as popular or common as the rest of them.
Yeah, I kind of just tacked these on to the end. Although the Apple, yeah, that's surprising that Apple Jam did better than Disc 2 for All Things Must Pass.
Although Apple Jam, I was looking at the total, there's like 800 million view or plays from All Things Must Pass, and only 7 of those are from Disc 3. So
seven.
It doesn't take much for Apple Jam to bump up some.
That's funny.
In fact, over 57% of all the plays for All Things Must Pass are just from My Sweet Lord.
Yeah. I also wonder, I feel like this begs the question from Spotify, like how much of a song do you have to listen to for it to count as a play? Like if you have a 16-minute song, you know, you have to listen to it from beginning to end for it to count as a play. You have to listen to a majority of it. I can't imagine that they would count, or I don't know, maybe they count like if you just click on it and hear the first 10 seconds, like does that count as a play?
You know, it's probably listed somewhere and we could look it up. It may be a certain percentage of the song or at least 10 seconds of the song, which, you know, means if a song is only 8 seconds long, does it ever count?
Mm-hmm.
I think the Newtopia National Anthem on the Mind Games album may have zero just because you can't listen to it long enough.
Yeah. Okay, I just Googled it.
Yeah.
According to, this is from the Spotify website. It says how we count streams. It says music video streams, 30 seconds or more, count towards all time streams for the associated song and any release the song is on. Okay, but that says videos.
Interesting.
I think it's 30 seconds. Everything I'm kind of poking seconds. Around okay, here says so 30 seconds.
If you're trying to pump up one of our numbers, you just have to hit repeat after 31 seconds.
Just multiple 30 seconds of coochie coochie over and over again.
Yeah, that's. I think that's something they use as an interrogation tactic for terrorists.
I could see that. That would work. I'd spill everything.
Indeed. We do have an interactive poll up on our website, as well as in our Facebook group. Going back to batch 2, we've gotten votes for Imagine, Jealous Guy, and a couple for How Do You Sleep, as well as Three Legs, Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey, and I Dig Love. So go ahead and go to those websites or whatnot and vote, and, you know, maybe we'll have a fan favorite by the end of this whole run.
Yeah. Go vote for some of my songs. Most of these are yours.
I know.
Okay, so let's get into our Beatles in the News segment. And we have some really exciting news. Apple bought the IP, the intellectual property, for the Beatles. And it was with them that the Get Back documentary was released. And is it Apple or is it Disney? I think it's Apple.
It's all one big conglomeration okay. at this point.
Right, exactly. And then they're also the ones who did the re-releases that we talked about previously, the remasters of the Blue and the Red albums. So overall, really, I think that Apple has just handled the intellectual property of the Beatles beautifully. And I think that coming on the heels of they're doing a Bob Dylan biopic, and I think that the people's sort of reaction to that has been a prompting for this. But they announced that there's going to be not one, not two, not three, but four new Beatles biopics that are going to be directed by Sam Mendes. Sam Mendes did the Bond movies, I believe.
Yeah, the ones with Daniel Craig.
Yes.
So the recent ones.
So that's really cool and exciting. And something that I was listening to, Rolling Stone does a podcast on kind of the state of the music industry, like things that are coming out now. And they were talking about this and they were kind of tossing around the idea of like, what is four different movies and they're all supposed to come out within the same year, you know, one for each Beatle.
Yeah.
What is that going to look like? Like, are they going to, like, timeline wise, you know, what part of the story are they going to tell? There's a lot of, I think, Beatles movies about the very early days, you know, Cavern Club era and when they were really young. But so like, you know, is the first movie going to be about John and it'll be in the beginning of that? And then will the next movie be about George and it'll be like kind of, you know, album era? Like, how are they going to do that timeline?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions, whether they just have it take place over the same period from different perspectives or, mm-hmm. I mean, the obvious one is the trip to India is the George, but other than that, you know, it's hard to say how they're going to divide it up. So
yeah,
I am curious to see it. And I mean, it's not coming out till like 2027. So we'll have plenty of time to, you know, criticize the casting and
yes.
mull over the possibility, but
we'll be revealed in time. It's kind of an exciting time now to not know anything about it and to kind of like think about all of the possibilities. Like, is it going to be the same actors? Are they going to age them, you know?
Yeah. No, that's always the problem with those biopics is young people in old age makeup and ugly wigs. So hopefully we'll see what they do. I am very curious. I mean, if nothing else, it'll be, if it's not good, it'll at least be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And I do recommend listening to the Rolling Stone podcast episode I was talking about, because it's like an hour and a half and it gets into some really good detail about like previous Beatles movies that have come out and the actors that have portrayed the different Beatles, who did them well, who didn't do them. I have never seen a single Beatles movie.
Most of them are not great, but I think they're far more entertaining the less you know about them.
Yeah.
So we may be at a disadvantage here.
Yeah. But I will go see these for sure.
Yeah. No, I'm curious. So definitely. Yeah. And speaking of the Rolling Stone, they released an article listing the 100, according to them, best Beatles solo songs. Ironically, of the 100, only three from this current batch showed up. New York City, Dear Friend, and Back Off Boogaloo. So again, looking forward to the next batch, which I don't think is going to have as much to talk about, but more pleasant to listen to.
Mm-hmm. And then another huge piece of news here. This is like deep Beatles lore it's so crazy that this is happening, I think, at the time that we're recording this, like all the way in 2024. But Paul's old Hofner bass was found and returned to him. It's been missing for 50 years. I think they believed it was stolen back in the day. No one knows what happened to it, but on February 17th, it was returned to him. They found it, I think, a journalist had it. No, a journalist started a campaign to try and find it. This is like, I feel like as a fan of a Beatles fan, like everyone knows about like the mystery of this missing guitar. But I guess, you know, in the past year or two, this journalist like made it a thing, like a search, and they found it.
Now that would actually be an interesting movie to watch too.
Yeah.
I somehow doubt that'll be one of the Sam Mendes films, but that sounds like an interesting, you wouldn't even need to cast someone as Paul, just the journalist. So.
Right. Yeah. Actually, and that reminds me, another sort of thing that was debated and talked about with these movies is, I think that, and you know, whether this is a good thing for the IP or not, but it sort of opens the door, I think, to like a Beatles universe. Like there's all of these really interesting spinoffs that could happen, like a Mal Evans spinoff or a Stu Sutcliffe spinoff, a Ringo childhood film, because apparently he had a super interesting childhood. And like it opens the door for like TV shows. And if this becomes like a Star Wars-esque universe, you know, while I kind of like feel iffy about, I think that Star Wars got a little bit over diluted, but it is just kind of fun to think about those possibilities.
I know they were making a film about Brian Epstein a couple years ago that's supposed to be done but never came out, that
oh really
might fit into this. Yeah,
I did not know that.
Yeah, called Midas Man or something.
Oh, so it's finished but they just never released it.
That's what I heard. Either that or they started it and haven't finished it yet, but It was one of the ones that got hit by the pandemic and then the writer's strike. And then so it may be like 95% done and just sitting on a shelf. So
interesting. I would love to see that. That would be a really interesting story.
Yes, he's an interesting fellow. So I would definitely see a movie about him.
Yeah.
Now here's some other interesting news. Apparently there's a new Lennon McCartney song, but it's not Paul and John. It's a Paul's son James and John's son Sean.
No way.
Yeah, no, they co-wrote a song for James McCartney, who I didn't even know had a career.
Yeah.
Called Primrose Hill. And the co-writing thing is more of a gimmick, but it's not a bad little song. Nothing exciting, but it's still fun to hear Lennon McCartney together again, even in a second generation.
This is news to me. I will have to check that out. That's so funny. I saw back in, let's see, I think it was 2018, I was at a show and Sean was opening for someone. So I got to see him live is the point I'm getting at. And it's so funny, like he wears his dad's glasses and like he has the long hair and everything. And it was okay. The music was okay. Not, I think, as melodic as the Beatles stuff, but like who expects him to do exactly what they did. Cool that he's gone and done his own thing.
Yeah.
And then it looks like the Beatles Circus Olé show entitled Love is closing in July. When did that start?
I remember George was still alive when they started it because he was very excited about it. So it's got to be, you know, 2000 or something like that. So it had a good run. I mean,
yeah. And does it stay in one performance center or do they travel?
I think the main one is in Vegas. So, okay. You know, they may have done a traveling version, but I think that's where it was. I never saw it. I don't get to Vegas very often.
Right. Yeah.
I did buy the Love soundtrack, which is when you're used to Beatles songs, having them mashed up and mixed up like that takes some getting used to, but it's kind of fun to hear them in a new way.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. Maybe I can make my way over to, I live in the American Southwest now, so Vegas is a little bit of a drive, but maybe if I feel so inclined, I'll go and check it out real quick.
If you're going to, you have, you know, just a couple months, so hurry.
Yeah, gotta drive fast, I guess.
I think that's about it for Beatles in the news. Oh boy. So tune in next week or next month when we have we're finally done with All Things Must Pass. We'll be moving on to George's next album, Living in the Material World, along with Paul's Red Rose Speedway and John's Mind Games. We also have to decide, are we going to do the whole Ringo album or just the two singles he've released?
Decisions.
I mean, that's a lot of Ringo.
Yeah.
It's a good album, but if we commit to Ringo albums, then we got some less exciting ones in the future, so.
Yeah, we'll leave it up to our discretion. I'm super excited to get into some more George albums. I love All Things Must Pass, I do, but it is an album that I would say that I'm, even going into this, I was pretty familiar with. Whereas living in the material world, I know like the popular songs very well.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to kind of spend some time with the other pieces of the album that I'm sure are fantastic.
No, and I mean, it's definitely, like I said, less of a challenging listen than this batch, but maybe not as bold. I think everyone sort of was shocked by the reaction to the last and decided to play it a little more safe on this one. So I'm wondering if that will bear out in our picks, whether we try and find the weird ones or go for a more homogenous, consistent sound.
Yeah, I'll have to think strategy. And yeah, we'll have to talk about what we want to do about the Ringo stuff.
So definitely, if you have any opinions on the Ringo stuff or on any of the news we've broken, feel free to hit us up on our Facebook group or whatever it is that we use to communicate with. We have an Instagram. Instagram's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you next time. So don't forget to smash that like button, and we'll check you out next time.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye.